Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you've wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Let's pray. Father, one of the words that's sometimes used for this place where we gather, this place where we worship, is sanctuary. A sanctuary is a place that has been set apart. A sanctuary is often thought of as a place of safety. It's a place, Lord, where hopefully we're able to come as your people once a week to remind ourselves of reality. Because much of what we see in the world is not true reality, Lord. It's the evidences of a world that's broken, of a world in which things don't work the way they ought to work. It's not a reflection of the way the world should be. And when we come into this place each week, we should be reminded of the way the world should be. We should be reminded, Lord, of the love that you have for us, of the fact that, as Dave mentioned earlier, it doesn't matter what's happening in the world, you're in control. As a reminder that in all the noise and confusion of our lives, we can come into this sanctuary and find peace. That we can be with others who know Christ. Others who know Christ with whom we will be forever. And so it's here, Lord, not out there, that we're able to really look behind the curtain and see reality. I thank you for your word which shares that reality with us, Lord. And we ask that you would teach us from your word this morning. I pray you'd set a guard over my lips that I would say those things that are right and true, and that you would be exalted among us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Caleb is not usually one of those who come to mind when people list the great figures in the Bible. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, Elijah, David, Peter, Paul. These guys pretty much make everybody's lists, but Caleb isn't normally there. That's because Caleb isn't one of the major characters in the Bible. He's only mentioned a handful of times. Yet in those few references, we see something about the character of the man that sets him well above the ordinary. None of the references in the Bible say anything negative about Caleb. And in perhaps one of the highest accolades a man can receive, God says of him in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, "My servant Caleb has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully." He has a different spirit in him. Something that sets Caleb apart. Something that got the attention and approval of God. character traits that enabled Caleb's life to count right down to the very last. So that's where we're going to begin this morning, in the last part of Caleb's life. And then we're going to go back to earlier in his life and try to find out what there was about his character early on that enabled him to end life in the way that he did. In the passage that we began with this morning, Joshua is preparing to oversee the conquest of the Promised Land. And he's beginning to parcel out the land in advance to the tribes of Israel that haven't yet received their inheritance. 2.5 of the tribes have already received their portions of the land promised to them by God. Those tribes were Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Their territory was on the eastern side of the Jordan River in what today would be Jordan. But the other half of the tribe of Manasseh and the other 9 tribes have not yet taken possession of their inheritance. So the tribe of Judah comes along to find out what part of the land they're going to be responsible for taking. And among the members of the tribe of Judah is an 85-year-old man named Caleb. But this is no typical 85-year-old man. You're not going to find him on a rerun of The Golden Girls or Matlock. He isn't ready for retirement yet. He's just as ambitious and just as confident at 85 as he was when he was in the prime of life. So when Joshua's deciding who will conquer what part of the land, Caleb reminds him of something. Look in Joshua 14 again, starting in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me, in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for coming out and for going in, or for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Now let me explain something to you about the territory that Caleb is asking for. Hebron was in the hill country of Canaan. It would be no easy conquest. There was a very real prospect of a battle for every single hill. It had the potential to be a long and bloody military campaign. Add to that the fact that it was inhabited by the Anakim. Those were the descendants of a mighty warrior named Anak, who were noted for their size and fierceness. And maybe you'll have some understanding of what Caleb's asking for. In 45 years, he has not lowered his sights. And he still has every confidence that he can take the land just as surely now as when he was in his prime. In fact, as far as he's concerned, he's still in his prime. See what he says there in verse 11? "As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." Now, honestly, if I'd been Joshua, I might have had a little problem with this. An 85-year-old man wanting to lead the military campaign to take one of the most difficult areas in Canaan. But then again, maybe if I were Joshua, I wouldn't have had a problem with it, because you see, Joshua knew Caleb. In fact, they were the only ones left from the adults who had come out of Egypt with Moses. So he knew something of the character of the man, and he also remembered the promise of God to Caleb. So you want to know how Joshua reacts to this request without even skipping a beat? We're told in Joshua 14, verse 13, "And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance." He's going to let him attempt to take the land. So what was there in this 85-year-old man that enabled the leader of Israel to entrust such a responsibility to him? How is it that Caleb still has just as much ambition and just as much confidence when he's 85 as when he was 40? He hasn't lowered his sights a bit. God promised him Hebron when he was 40, and he still wants Hebron when he's 85. Nor does he just want Hebron given to him. He wants to take it for himself. What makes a man like that? What keeps him so alive? Well, let's go back 45 years to the incident that Caleb referred to in this passage, and let's see if we can find a clue. Go back to Numbers chapter 13. So if you're in Joshua, head back toward the first part of the Bible. You'll come to Numbers eventually, chapter 13. Now remember, we're going back 45 years. Israel has been freed from slavery in Egypt. They've crossed the Sinai. And now they're on the outskirts of Canaan, the promised land, ready to take possession of the land that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. In preparation for the conquest, God tells Moses to send spies into Canaan to find out what the land's like. How big are the cities? Are they fortified or not? How many people are there? What's the terrain? How good is the land? So Moses chooses 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel. Joshua represents the tribe of Ephraim, and Caleb represents the tribe of Judah. Go down to Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, and we'll read about what happens after these spies return from spying out the land. Numbers 13, beginning in verse 26. "Now they departed from spying out the land and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they'd spied out, saying, 'The land through which we've gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.' So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of the congregation, or the children of Israel, complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us up to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' And all the congregation said to stone them with stones." At this point, God gets really upset with Israel. He's had enough of their repeated rebellion and faithlessness, and he's ready to wipe the whole lot of them out and start over with Moses. But Moses intercedes for the people, and God tells Moses that while he won't destroy the whole nation, he will make sure that none of those adults who were faithless ever see the promised land. Go to Numbers 14, verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who've complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who are numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above.'" So he's telling them that all of the adults 20 years and older will fall in the wilderness, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I should make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. So what do we discover about Caleb in these two chapters that sets him apart from the rest of Israel? What is there in his character at 40 that will enable him to be the man that he is at 85? We'll go back to the passage where the spies first bring their report back to Moses and Israel, chapter 13, verse 27. Then they told him and said, "We went to all the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it." But the men who'd gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we." And they continue speaking negatively about the prospects, so much so that they dishearten the people of Israel. Then go over to chapter 14, verse 6, where Joshua and Caleb speak. "But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread.'" In other words, we're going to be able to eat them up. "Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Do you see the difference? The majority report is overwhelmingly negative, all the reasons why Israel can't possibly conquer Canaan, whereas Caleb and Joshua have nothing but positive words to say. Nothing but encouraging words. So you want to know one of the attitude differences between people who accomplish extraordinary things and people who simply take up space on the planet? People who make a difference focus on all the reasons why something can be done, not all the reasons why it can't. They are overwhelmingly positive. Not afraid of what might be lost, but motivated by what they might gain. In fact, at times they're so positive and so confident as to almost border on being cocky. Listen to what Caleb says in Numbers 13, verse 30 again. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" It's not a whole lot different from others who got God's attention. Remember what David said when Goliath challenged the men of Israel to a one-on-one fight. And David responded, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let no man's heart melt because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." A teenage boy willing to do what men were unwilling to do. But in neither David's case nor Caleb's case is the confidence of victory based on arrogant self-confidence. Each has such confidence. Each is so sure of victory because each has confidence in God. David and Caleb are able to have such a positive attitude about life because of the strength of their faith in God. And we see that confidence echoed in the New Testament by the men and women there as well. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Stop dwelling on everything that's wrong in life. Stop dwelling on all the negatives. Look for the positives. God's in control. There are curses, but there are blessings in the midst of the curses. You want to be a person who makes a difference? You want to be a person who's still young when he's old? Then be a person who looks at the positives, not the negatives, the possibilities, not the problems. Be a man who looks for all the ways it can be done, not all the reasons why it can't. And then I want you to notice the second character trait in Caleb that's worthy of our imitation. Not only was Caleb a positive person, he was a persevering person. Did you notice what Caleb did when opposition rose up against him? He didn't back down. He stood his ground. First, it's Caleb against the other 10 spies. And then it's Caleb and Joshua against all of Israel. But you see, the numbers didn't matter. Because Caleb had rock-solid convictions and he wasn't afraid to be different from the crowd. Again, that puts Caleb in pretty good company in the Bible. Daniel, Jeremiah, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, David, those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who even went into the fiery furnace for God. You see, sometimes the only one who believes something is possible is going to be you. So you better be prepared to hang in there through the ridicule and the opposition and the setbacks and the naysayers because they're going to come. Those hurdles are what separates the field of broken dreams from the field of fulfilled dreams. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 reads, a dream comes through much activity and a fool's voice is known by his many words. What that verse is telling us is that anybody can talk the talk, but the walk is going to take some effort. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 7, we are warned, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. And here the warning is for those who never pursue anything wholeheartedly. First, they're going to do this great thing, and then they're going to do that great thing. And then they're going to do another great thing. They talk about all the great things they're going to do one day, but they never actually do them. What the writer of Ecclesiastes is trying to tell us is that for a dream to become reality, it's going to take work. It doesn't just take words. And it takes perseverance. It takes hanging in there in the long haul because it's going to be tough. It doesn't really matter how much potential you have if you're not willing to do the work to bring out the potential. So you want to be someone whose life counts? Then be a person who's positive. Be a person who perseveres. And then there's a final characteristic of Caleb's life I want you to see here this morning. And that's his patience. Because you remember what happened? Caleb had to wait 45 years before he entered the promised land. But at the end of those 45 years, his hopes were just as real and his confidence just as strong. And that's amazing because not only is it hard to maintain a dream over the long haul, It's doubly hard when other people are the reason you're having to wait. And yet that's another characteristic of a person who's successful. He doesn't blame others for his unrealized dreams. He accepts the responsibility of overcoming the obstacles, whatever they are, whether they're of his own making or whether they're of the making of other people. So how do you think you would have reacted? You're on the verge of entering the promised land, and you're ready to go in and take it. And then all these whiners start complaining and moaning, and God decides that now none of you are going to be able to go in. Now because of them, even you and Joshua are going to have to wait 40 years. 40 years. How would you have reacted? At no time do we see Caleb complaining. At no time do we see him losing heart. If it's going to take time before his dream is realized, it's going to take time. And he's not going to play the blame game. He's not going to give up the dreams because of other people. Because I guarantee you, if Caleb had begun playing the blame game, he would not have been the same man we find at age 85. He would have become bitter and cynical, as old in his heart as he was in his years. You see all kinds of people like that in our world today. But Caleb just hangs in there, maintaining a positive attitude, persevering, being patient. Proverbs chapter 21, 5 tells us, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty." If you're looking for the road to quick success, you're headed for trouble, God's telling you. Because the road that really leads to success takes some effort and some time. So you want your life to count? You want to come to the end of your days still young in heart, even though you may be old in years? You see, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about athletic success, career success, marital success, success as a parent. To have that success requires three things: a positive attitude, perseverance, and patience. Oh, by the way, I never did tell you what happened when Caleb tried to take Hebron, did I? Joshua chapter 15, verse 14, tells us these simple words. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there. The sons of that mighty warrior Anak and the men fighting with them, Caleb, an 85-year-old man, was successful in leading the campaign that drove them out. Let's pray.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.